Hi everyone. Thanks a lot for being here again at FOSDEM. It's a great pleasure to me to be present even online on a second time. And today I'm going to talk, me and my colleague Jean, we are going to talk about backup and restore tools and do a comparison of performance among them. Doing our tests, we found some really interesting results. And I think it was a nice topic to revisit now in 2022, because, for example, MySQL Shell introduced new tools to do backup and restore. And I think it would be nice to do a comparison with what we had in the past, like MySQL Dump, until nowadays. So, first, for those who doesn't know me, I'm Vinicius. Feel free to call me any way you want. I've been working support team at Percona for almost 5 years. I work specifically with MySQL and MongoDB. Recently, me and my colleague Sergey, we released a book about MySQL, Learning MySQL for those who are starting your career on this MySQL open source world. And Jean, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey Vini, thank you. Hello everyone. My name is Jean da Silva. I'm from Brazil as well. I've joined Percona in 2021, in the middle of the pandemic. So I'm joined the team since then, and I'm helping Percona with MySQL and Mongo tasks. And then here today, I hope you guys like this our presentation, and let's move on.
Thanks, Sean. So, for us to start, let's begin with what tools do we have available to perform the backup and restore procedure. The tools that we chose are MySQL Dump, which is the classic one. It comes with all MySQL binaries. It is relatively well known by everyone. I bet that everyone that is watching this used MySQL Dump at least once in their life. And the other tools are MyLoader and MyDumper. It's part of the same process. First, you use MyDumper and then MyLoader. MySQL Pump, that is present on the MySQL binaries on community version. Percon as well. Extra Backup, which is a physical backup. It's open source tool provided by Percona. And MySQL Shell. MySQL Shell is present since MySQL 5.7 and 8, and introduced the new tools to execute these tasks. One clarification, I mentioned physical backups. So, quickly reminding this, there are two types of backups: physical backups and logical backups. Physical backups, they literally copy the files that belongs to the database. It's like how extra backup works, copying the files. If you shut down MySQL and do a CP, SCP, or something like this, it's a code backup as well. It works as a physical backup, although, as we can see, like you can't copy the files while MySQL is running, because then you lose data integrity. For this, we have extra backup. In logical backup, you don't take copy of the files. Basically, the tool will connect to the database and perform SQL operations to extract the data and save it into one or multiple files. Right, so we won't have any specific files from the database, like the redo logs. A few things that we need to consider when taking a backup. These are based on our experience. I wrote a blog post about backup performance, which I got a few comments. And I think it's worth to remember this. So many things around network encryption, file encryption. If we are going to use a single thread or a multi-threaded tool, if we are going to compress this backup, because disk is expensive, especially for people that are on the cloud, which each gigabyte has a cost. Backup time and restore time, those are important for not only the DBAs, but for managers to measure how long the operation can support to be offline because of disaster recovery situation. The total time, of course, we will go over the next sections. We will see that a lot of the tools perform the backup relatively fast, but the restore suffers a bit. So Jean will talk about this. Of course, we talk about total time to backup and restore. Point in time recovery, which is a very important feature for most of the companies because they can't afford losing more than 30 minutes of data, 1 hour, whatever. And performing full backups, it's an expensive operation. So usually people decide to do one full during each week and then incremental backups. And a few others that I couldn't think of, but I'm sure you guys might have any other items. So let's begin with the numbers that people are most interested in. And let's start with the backup benchmark, which is the I like to call the first side of the history, because it's where everything is born. Where we start, where we literally start. So what I used on this benchmark, I used the AWS instance M5DN8X large with 128 gigs of memory, two IO1 disks with 5,000 IOPS, fixed IOPS, because I didn't want those burstable disks interfering into the results, so I provisioned a fixed storage with IOPS, sent to 7.9, and as you can see, the versions of the tools. MySQL 8.0.26, same for MySQL Shell. This, at the time of this recording, my dumper, both gzip and zstd, they are on 0.11.5 version, and extra backup 8.0.26. Quick note is extra backup is not working anymore. Like if you have extra backup 8.0.26 and MySQL 8.0.27, extra backup won't work. That was a decision that Percona made recently. And how my data is composed. So we have 96 gigabytes in disk of data distributed into 90 tables with different sizes. Many tables going from 3 gigs to a few megabytes only. And I created this using the TPCC scripts. It's available here. I'm providing it. It's open source. And the idea is, of course, to have more data than my currently buffer pool, because that's what we observe for most customers. The buffer pool contains only the hot data, while the database is much larger than what we have configured. So let's start with the results. This is the backup size. As I mentioned here, the database is 96 gigs. So extra backup with no compression. It's a bit easier to understand why, because it's a copy of the files. It's as is, except binary logs. So if you have 100 gigs of binary logs, this is not going to be copied. And if we follow, we can see extra backup using compression, MySQL pump with no compression and LZ4, MyDumper without compression, MySQL shell use ESTD by default, so it's already compressed, and MySQL dump not compressed. Not compressed and as is. This, I try to make it a bit different. This is the ratio, which means that the extra backup is equivalent to the database size. And for example, MySQL shell, as we can see, it's 90% of the total size of the database. So you can theorize if you have a database with 100 gigs, MySQL shell usually uses 90%, then you are going to have around 9 to 10 gigabytes of backup. So then you can explode to one terabyte to whatever and get some similar metrics. Now, going to the runtime, this is time to execute. Less is better, so smaller the bars, more faster the backup run. As we can see, MySQL dump, the only single thread tool running, is huge. We can see the other ones running almost at the same time. MySQL shell, we can see MySQL shell and MyDumper with ZSTD are the tools that are running, are the fastest tools to perform the backup. And because the MySQL dump took so long, the graph is not so clear. So I took it out so you guys can have a better idea when we are talking about parallel tools. And well, the numbers are the same. This didn't change, but I think this is shows with more clarity, like for example, that extra backup took more time. And each bar is for 16, 32, and 64 threads. Remember that the machine has 32 cores. So these are the results. I got some questions and comments on the blog post that I wrote. Extra backup currently does not support ZSTD. You need to do a pipe on the backup and then compress the files manually. However, we opened a feature request, so hopefully we will soon see support to ZSTD in extra backup too. In terms of performance, during the tests, I didn't observe any impact in performance in using socket or TCP IP protocol, both running to the same speed with 1 or 2 seconds of difference, which for me, this is the margin of error. And another question that I got, for example, MySQL shell uses SSL by default to connect to the database. Why on my dumper not? So I got a question like, how meaningful is the impact of SSL? And I run the tests, as we can see, SSL took 4 seconds more than no SSL, but I don't consider this as a big difference. I would say, especially when we see the total time, this is not a meaningful impact to the overall process. And now my colleague Jean, he will talk about the restore benchmark.
Okay, thank you, Vinny, and hello everyone again. So let's keep the pace and speaking about the restore results. Again, as you might know, a good backup policy also includes a restore routine. So it's interesting for you and to have these numbers to evaluate which tool to use when planning a backup routine. Okay, next, Vinny. So just a review on the machine, the restore machine. It had the same profile as the backup one. It's a 32 CPU machine with 2 NVMe disk with fixed throughput. And the tools that we used had the latest version running. Okay, so let's go next. Okay, let's talk about the restore itself. So as you can see, the numbers are in second, and MySQL dump, unfortunately, it gets most of the time from the others if compare, because it's not fair to say about that, but it's a single-threaded tool. So it's this kind of results is it's expected from our side. But the fun part is when we compare the MySQL shell and the MyLoader results, which is nice, the numbers they got. So in the next slide, we are going to see it closer without the noisy of MySQL dump. Okay, so here we have the numbers, and it's quite interesting because there are a few points which I would like to show for you guys. So the first one is the battle between MySQL shell and my loader is quite tough in terms of numbers. They are very, very close. So any of those tools that you pick to use, you'll be more personal choice. So the if you look the numbers, let me see, we have around we have 2 minutes. We have 7 minutes for MySQL shell, and a little bit more for the MySQL loader. So, but the point here is also worth mentioning. It's about the MySQL pump. It shined when we did the backup because it provides the parallelism option. But then when we did the restore, the numbers goes a little bit high if you compare to the others. So that's because for the restore process, the MySQL pump, it's a single threaded operation. So that's why, unfortunately, the numbers skyrocketed a little. And the last, but not the least, we have the extra backup running with impressive numbers. So as you can see, it took 2 minutes to finish the restore, yeah, with no compressed data, and 7 minutes with compressed data set. So it's a very good result for extra backup. So next, please. Okay, so the restore itself show us a little good numbers. So in the next slide, we'll have the total of the numbers counting backup and restore, and that will help you to show to move a decision. Next slide, please, Vinny. Okay. Here we have the backup and restore numbers summed. So as you can see, the MySQL dump, it got the highest number. So it took 27 hours to finish the process. So that's a lot of time to run a backup and restore process. But then we also have the information from MySQL shell and the other tools. On the next slide, you'll see it without the MySQL dump information. So great. So here we can see that, again, the battle between MySQL shell and MySQL loader keeps happening. So their numbers are quite good in terms of how long did it take to finish the entire process. So again, both of tools would be a good choice to use in a backup policy. But then when you check the MySQL pump due to the restore process, it unfortunately got a very, very high restore process. Sorry, a very high backup and restore process. Again, mainly because due to its lack of feature in terms of parallelism for restoration process. And then we also have the extra backup, which again from the other tools. So if you compare, as Vinny said before, it's a physical backup. So the things are a bit different in terms of how it takes the backup and how it restores. And then it also provides a very good result against the others. So next, please.
So what we can observe after all of this, as we saw, we can't look at only one side, only the backups or only the restore. There is always the two sides of the history plus your business budget, like how much space in disk you will use. So you need to use compression. Security compliance, if you need to use encryption or network encryption or REST. So those are all the things. We can observe like extra backup seems to offer a good balance between backup and restore time. The tool, of course, is not the fastest when doing the backup. We saw that my dumper and MySQL shell are much faster, but overall, it has a good advantage, especially when using compression, because as we can see here, the difference between a compressed extra backup and no compressed, it's only a few seconds of difference. MySQL Pump, as Jean said, it is a great tool to take the backup, but it suffers because it sends everything to a single file and you need to import through MySQL. So hopefully in the future, I would like to see MySQL Pump splitting the data into different files like my dumper does. And then it should be like a very good tool to use it. Another thing is that, as I mentioned, we don't observe significant impact when using compression or SSL or TCP IP versus socket. Like when we put the entire process, there is not a big difference. And if you consider the amount of disks that you are saving, it might be a very good option for you. And lastly, like it's clear to see that parallelism, especially in these nowadays with both CPUs machines available, parallelism is a must. We can't wait more than one day to do a backup and restore using MySQL dump. So it's not feasible nowadays. It is possible to squeeze more juice from this. For example, I didn't touch any MySQL settings. Like we can avoid writing to the binary log, we can disable it, we can set the InnoDB flush logs TRX commit to 2 or 0. We can disable the double write buffer and many other things. However, like this needs to be calculated by you guys, calculated the risk, because we are going to do a trade-off between performance and reliability. So if during the process, when you disable everything, your database crashes, you will probably, and I really recommend to restart the process again. This is a blog post written by Yves Trudeau, architect from Percona, and he gave some advice on how to improve MySQL writes. On a side note, the first line is be aware this can corrupt your data, so don't test it in production. Go for your keyway environment. And now the choice of the presenter. Jean, which tool you would like to use if the database would be in your hands?
So it depends on the situation, of course, but generally speaking, I would choose extra backup. So first thing, some considerations first. So it's nice to see MySQL shell and MySQL loader with great numbers. it's great to have options to use throughout the database, but even for small tests or complex ones, like create a backup routine. For me personally, extra backup also helped, so I would go to extra backup at this moment.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I must say I agree with Jean. I really like mainly the PTR option of extra backup, which is very flexible, and the other tools does not have it. But because I used logical backups for a while, I got used with my dumper, my SQL shell. I like to use my SQL shell only for my SQL 8. I know that Oracle guys may not agree with me, but that's my personal choice. So if I would be doing a logical backup, certainly I would use my SQL shell or my dumper or my loader, but never my SQL pump or my SQL dump. As we can see, the difference is huge. And as Jean said about extra backup, his comments, and I know we are exceeding a bit the time. So guys, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask in the chat, or you can reach out to us in the social media or Percona forums, and we would be glad to help. Once more, from my side, thank you to be here at Fosden again. It's a huge pleasure. And Jeb?
Yeah, for me as well. It's my first time, so hope all you have enjoyed this presentation. So if you have any questions, feel free to chat us. Okay? Bye-bye.
Okay.